from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
You. We have to deal with you.
Very nice. I was kind of wondering, because what normally happens in these shows is you say you're Jacob, I say I'm Ryan, and then I immediately do something to emasculate you, or try to. I try to assert my slight, my manly dominance over you.
And, it's that alpha thing. You know, it's funny, because didn't you always say that you weren't alpha? You know? I mean, you say, well, the real alphas are never those that have to, you know, play the alpha role. They're those god kings in the background that never say a word when everybody's fighting to the death.
I'm not the kind of alpha that that gets in people's faces, but I've definitely got that thing going on in the back of my mind where I'm like, I'm better than you. Maybe not better than you.
At least not
in brain stuffs.
Brain-wise, I'm better.
Brain-wise, you win. Looks-wise and charm-wise...
You think you got more charm than me? That's interesting. Let's talk about that before. No,
we need to have some kind of wacky bet where it's like, you know, some comedy starring that really, it'll be a comedy type movie where we both go out and we try and sleep with as many people as possible, and then the punchline will be herpes.
I think that they try to make that movie. I think it's called In the Company of Men, and it's depressing, man. It's depressing. It's kind of one of those horrible chauvinistic men kind of movie that destroy a woman in their pursuit to prove to each other how awesome they are and they want revenge for a woman. Terrible. Yeah. Terrible idea. Terrible idea.
Kind of like Wedding Crashers or Tomcats as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's always that story where two guys are like, I'm the mirror effer. I'm going to fuck some bitches. And then it turns out really... Well, most of the time they try to put a nice little twist on it, don't you think? They're always like, oh, but deep down he realized he loved her. Man, that is not reality.
Yep.
The reality is he kind of gets addicted to it, pulls a Jack Nicholson, and ends up having, you know, being an 80-year-old having sex with, you know, lots of 20-year-olds. I'm sure if you went over to Jack Nicholson and you'd say, Jack, do you regret your life at all not having devoted to that one special person? Jack would be, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah.
Sometimes there isn't that sort of sweet ending where people realize the wrongs that they did. No. Sometimes they just keep going. They get hit by a bus. All right. Speaking of random shit, let's talk about religion, which is what we normally do, or
we try to do from time.
Try to do. I guess.
Are you getting more criticism from people saying that we're spending too much time not talking about religion?
No. I don't know why anybody said it, because in a sense. I mean, you could. We discussed this before. I mean, you could have a long 30-minute show about why religion sucks, but honestly, you should probably only listen to that once.
But I have heard that people really like it when we shit on the Pope.
Oh well, you know me. You know how much I love the Pope. I mean, there are a few institutions that I would like to see destroyed. The Catholic Church is definitely one of those institutions. I mean, like, obliterated. I mean, you can keep the whole Catholic word. You just don't have an institution anymore. Everything gets bought or sold or demolished or whatever. Just gone. Like, well, not demolished. I suppose you could make probably a lot of lower-income housing. Yeah, there's a solution. All churches, Catholic churches, put into homeless shelters. Yeah,
all African immigrants go to Vatican City.
Exactly. It could be its own little town. You know, it's like, I wonder how many people could live in Vatican City. Like, how many people? Seriously, it's huge. And there's gold everywhere. It's ridiculous. Why does anybody think that that's... I mean, okay. Who eats on gold plates? Who? That's crazy. All right, that's crazy. Anyways, let's talk about evolution, actually, okay. Specifically, and creationism, because these two are always... at war with one another. Now, at first I was thinking to myself, ah, shit, I'm so bored. I'm so done with this subject.
Oh,
fuck,
yeah.
It is not done.
We talked the death out of that the first 15 Good Atheist podcasts, and I'm like, man.
Well, you know what? For a while, it kind of slowed down.
All
it's
quiet
because,
on the Western Front.
Yeah, the first 17 shows, I mean, what? Show 4, all of a sudden there was that Creation Museum that opened? That was 22 months ago.
Wow.
So, you know, shit happens.
Time flies.
Yeah, time does fly 22 months. And I know that because there was an interesting... article on unreasonable faith. Again, I mean, I visit this guy a lot, so I don't know. He's like primary on my reader. There's him and Feringula, because you can't avoid Feringula. You know what I mean?
You know,
it's like, I know you don't like him, but you gotta read his blog. It's shit goes down in Feringula.
Yeah, I suppose it's true. My personal favorite is Atheist Revolution. And plus there's, I think it's called Atheist Video Blog. You know, it's very simple, but I like it.
You know what I like about Atheist Revolution?
Hmm?
He reads my side. That's what I like about him.
Yeah.
That's what I like. And he likes to put, you know, unlike a lot of some of the other blogs that don't do linking very well, I think that's probably one of the biggest problems. There's not a lot of I found that there's not a lot of linking.
No one
on.
Wants to share their audience with anybody else, which is ridiculous to me, obviously, coming from a site that's all about telling people to go to other sites.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, once you tell people to go to other sites, I mean, instead of in their Google Reader having one atheist site, they have 10. And I mean, talk about being able to shape people's opinions and thoughts. Like, fuck reading one. One is not enough. People need to read like 20.
Mm-hmm.
So as much like the good ones out there, like you need to find them and the ones that you like and just read the crap out of them.
Yeah, put them on your RSS reader. And if you people aren't using RSS readers, let me tell you what. It's like the iTunes
it's the new
podcasting
internet.
Thing. It's just stuff delivered to your Google account.
To your,
and it's beautiful.
To your face. It's delivered right to your face.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Now, because the subject has kind of come back. Anyways, I was saying that the... The reason that I mentioned that article about 22 months, you know, for the Creation Museum because Ken Ham was interviewed by BBC.
Ken Ham being the guy who started the Creation Museum?
Yeah, exactly. He's like this Australian dude.
What is up with these all these like prominent, hardcore religious Australians?
I don't know. I don't know what the scene is in Australia. But anyways, he's Australian-American. He lives in the States. So he was feeling pretty angry because one of his, I guess we'll call them a scientist on his payroll or whatever. Somebody who has some kind of bogus-ass degree went on, got interviewed, but what they didn't realize was that the interview was actually a debate. So they showed up there with somebody who knew their shit, and they were put on the spot. And he came back saying, like, this is ridiculous, and this is not what we agreed to, which to some degree, you know, I could almost, you know, sympathize, except for, what, you got, ooh, you were put in a debate? Oh, no.
Yeah, you had to have an argument, and you weren't prepared for it, and you got brutally massacred. It's like, you know.
Well, you know, they didn't debate you about subjects that were different from what you represent.
Yeah.
It's not really, you're not getting ambushed. You're being asked about what you should know. I mean, this is not like, you didn't get Palin, because there's no such thing as being Palin, okay? You're asked legitimate questions, and if you can't answer them, it's because you're an idiot. It's just that simple. So, anyways, that was the reason I knew it was 22 months. Okay, moving back to evolution and the whole creationist debate, there are two things that I want to talk about. Number one is an article I saw in the Wall Street Journal about the Texas Board of Education is supposed to vote next week whether or not to introduce new science curriculum, which basically means to introduce intelligent design and to undermine evolution with, you know, by focusing on specific problems with the theory. Now, you know what I always found funny about sort of the evolution debate, because I don't really even consider it a debate, but whatever. I think what's funny is that you look at what should be taught in a classroom and how long do these kids have to learn it? All right, assuming you got a really good teacher and you got maybe 1 hour, you know, a day. Which sounds like a lot, but most of the time, you know, we all know what happens at school.
Yeah.
You don't do shit.
Hey, you know, we talk for 35 minutes, and that goes by pretty quick.
That goes by pretty damn quick. In fact, you know, all the good atheists is probably the amount of time you would spend in a classroom. So do you think you've learned anything from us? You know, I don't think so, but we literally have a class, one whole semester's worth of, you know, information. And it's just, so you don't have a lot of crap coming out in 1 hour. But to even understand evolution takes a while. I mean, I casually read about it and study it, and I'm even very beginner level, you know. There are many things that I don't know. There's a lot to learn. And then to say even before they get to that stage, they have to learn about holes in a theory? I mean, what would be your first thought when a person says, okay, here 1 + 1 = 2, but there's a giant hole somewhere in this theory called math. Hey, do you want to learn it? It's totally not true, though, but you want to learn it? Of course nobody wants to learn, and I mean, if you trust the individuals giving you the information saying, this ain't worth learning, then you're going to be like, well, he's probably right.
Is there a problem with 1 + 1 = 2?
Well, there's only a problem in that you can't ultimately prove that mathematically.
Because it all goes back to nothing, right?
No, it's not. That's no.
No?
It's because it's Gödel's incompleteness theorem. Mm. This is actually kind of interesting. I know I'm going to go on a tangent on this, but it's pretty fascinating. One plus one equals two can't be definitively proven because in Gödel's uncertainty theorem says that you need one axiom to prove another. So to prove 1 plus 1 equals 2, I need a very long formula. In fact, the formula takes about 276 pages, I think, is how long this formula goes on. It's a work. Okay, it took Bertrand Russell. You may remember him because he's a philosopher as well. He said he was one of the biggest atheists. You know the teapot thing?
Yeah,
Bertrand
yeah.
Russell. Anyways, Bertrand Russell also wrote a mathematical proof for 1 plus 1 equaling 2, but it's complete balls. That it's
guy,
bullshit.
That guy needs a hobby.
That guy was smart. Watch His SMRT. Television. He was smart. But, yeah, anyways, it's at the end of the day, even with all the proof that they did, and it was brilliant. I mean, it's still bullshit because it needs another really, really long equation or proof to prove that it's true. So that's kind of like the one of those funny things in logic, because ultimately logic is math. Okay, mm-hmm. it has a there's a reason why most mathematicians are excellent at logic, because one is the other. So if there's like this fundamental flaw there, and you're just like, holy shit, I can't prove it, or at least mathematically prove it with 100%, and you're sort of like, you know, certainty. There is no 100% anywhere. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean it's not true. So, I mean, nobody questions 1 plus 1 equaling 2 because you know it's true and it works and you can mostly prove it. And that's just how the universe is. You can mostly prove a lot of things, but you can't prove it 100%.
Is that basically what they're trying to do with putting these things back into the textbooks to say that, you know, evolution has some flaws or there's some holes in this? Or
my point before was that introducing that now, even if there were flaws in the theory, doesn't mean that the theory doesn't work. Doesn't mean that the model is wrong. See, the thing about intelligent design is it has no model. Its model is big black box of God, out comes animals in arc. La 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 la. You know? Like, this is it. This is their fucking box. You know, if you look at the difference between On the Origins of Species, the very first book written on evolution, which is roughly about 1,000 pages or so, it's a thick manual. Now, there, the creationists or intelligent design have a pandas and people that's a very weighty, I don't know, 150 pages, a picture book, you know? It's pictures. It's not even, there's no writing in there. What are they supposed to say? The God is awesome, and he made us in his image. Ta-da! I mean, that's not a model. But regardless, I mean, if you're going to introduce that there are inconsistencies within that model, you would assume if I mentioned inconsistencies within the model in my second breath that it must not be that strong. And that's the problem, because even if they were allowed to talk about some of the things that we're still debating, mm-hmm. no one's at the level to really appreciate the insane amount of evidence to prove that it is true, that the model does work. And in science, you don't completely reject the model when you find flaws. You make alterations to that model. But intelligent design doesn't offer any alterations. I mean, the thing is, these guys are creationists, pure, simple creationists. And they have a pragmatic approach to education. They tell themselves, well, all I got to do is I got to go into science class and I just got to fucking undermine it. I just got to cut it, you know, sort of pull the rug underneath it. And everyone will say, well, science isn't all that great. You know, science can't explain everything. Why, I was just in science class and they told me that the theory of evolution's got a whole bunch of holes in it. It's like, science can't prove everything. Durr, I'm going to listen to God. This is the kind of very simple thinking that they employ, and it works for the most part. I mean, how many fundamentally stupid people have you known, you know, disagree with evolution? Like, how many really bright people have disagreed that evolution works?
It doesn't really come up, you know, and I think if it ever came up, most people would... see, up here, it's very different from down in Texas, where up here, if you ask somebody if they believed in evolution in a group... And they actually didn't. They probably lied just to avoid embarrassment. But I think down in Texas is probably a very different story. And on that note, what is up with Texas lately?
I don't know. Every day it's news from Texas.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's just embarrassing. I don't know what. Maybe it should secede. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let Chuck Norris run that state.
Into the ground, son.
I feel bad for all you people living in Texas. It's a beautiful state and the weather's really nice. And I hear San Antonio is awesome.
I hear it's beautiful. I mean, and Texas is probably one of those very touristy places just because, you know, they got that crazy desert and they got, like, all kinds of great food.
I hear you can shoot Mexicans for, like, $1.
$1? I heard it was a pesos. You have to pay their federales.
Texas!
They cheated you, man.
But the other thing that I wanted to know is, I mean, I understand what they're going for, and I understand that the battle is still very much there, but to me, it just makes no sense for them to be banging their heads up against such a... This is obviously one of those things that in the next 15 to 20 years, at least in my mind, it's going to be one of those laughing matters. It's going to be another case where you're looking back and going, wow, you guys almost burned Galileo to death. It's like,
but it just seems weird that, look, I mean, you look at the history of the United States up until Sputnik, when it was in the air, teaching of evolution was against the law. You couldn't teach the theory. You know, you'd go to jail. Like the whole Scopes trial, you know, he was fined for teaching, evolution. Now, what happened at the time is this is just when America was ready to change its attitude about it. But until then, I mean, it was pretty serious to even outright ban a theory. I mean, it goes to show you who really does the banning. You know, is it science who's keeping intelligent design out of schools? Now, how about religion, who used to make it illegal for you to talk about that shit? I mean, you can have as many intelligent design magazines as you want. We're going to laugh at every single one of them. You couldn't even fill a pamphlet with information. All you do is fill it with just junk. You know, you might as well just rip a couple pages off random books, shove it together in ID magazine, and just fucking sell it. Yeah, it's just that nonsensical.
The fact that the Creationism Museum has displays showing children riding dinosaurs.
Oh, my God, it's embarrassing. I mean, you know what that creationist lady was doing in the video that I mentioned last episode? Remember Michael Shermer was talking to one of the people that worked there? Maybe even the one that was interviewed, I'm not sure, but she seems to be on an interviewing run, making a fool of herself. But the point is, her duty was to try to uncover why bacteria became bad once human beings fell from favor. Because remember, these people think that every species as it exists now has always existed since their creation. So they were all around, but they didn't turn bad until we fell. Because until then, you know, when they show human beings playing with dinosaurs and that kind of stuff, it's because in the Garden of Eden, animals didn't eat other animals, okay? It was a utopia in every sense. It was everything that Disney tries to show you. Actually, now that I think of it, the Garden of Eden would have probably been a Disney cartoon.
The Land Before Time meets Madagascar meets B-Story?
meets Cinderella, maybe. I don't know. Something ridiculous like that. And it's a Disney movie, okay? But that's what they think the place must have been like. So, you know, they go around trying to explain, why did dinosaurs have sharp teeth? Well, you know, it's better to eat leaves, maybe, I guess. I mean, they can't even explain it away. You know, how about the very fact that some animals are just like, you know, the wasp that injects its young into the stomach of a centipede, and then it paralyzes it, so its young are basically eating their way out of it? Yeah. Before the fall, though, it wasn't doing that. I don't know what it was doing. Maybe it was consensual. Maybe the centipede was like, yeah, buddy, do it. Woo! I totally love it! Or not even. But my point is that they have people that run around playing pretend. You know, like, hey, let's have some more fanciful ideas. And, I mean, how fanciful is that? I don't even know what they would come up with. It's that embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm going to give you an assignment before we move on.
Okay.
I like it. I want you to look into what is taught in Russia.
I'm pretty sure it's really straightforward. I mean, for them, evolution is probably the same as, I don't know, learning about electricity in science class. Where else in the world is this even an issue other than Turkey? You know, Turkey, that's what the United States is competing in terms of Western countries that are backwards. Turkey, like their education system is right above Turkey.
Wow.
Now, speaking of that, I did want to mention this as a side thing. I don't know if it's a conspiracy, but I wanted to hear your opinion on that. I just feel as though, you know, in the United States is usually very proud of their education system. As an idea, as a model, I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, it was adopted from the British. Basically, they started the idea of, well, why don't we educate the population? You know, educate the population. You make them smarter. You make them better workers, and it worked. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I mean, anybody who thinks that schools are bad is obviously a moron. Okay, but there seems to be this trend as of late in the United States to devote less and less monies to, you know, public schools and so on and so forth. And I always felt that reason came out of the very libertarian and Republican side of the United States, who figured, well, everything should be private schools anyways. They run more efficiently and they would be better. And I just get this feeling that the way that many of them are trying to achieve that is to basically make public schools the worst place to send your kids. And I mean, they're headed that way now, right, in Texas. I mean, is it a coincidence that Texas has so many, you know, Republicans? But look, Republicans are not traditionally very religious people. They just want to stop giving money to the government. They think to themselves, well, if the school get worse, everybody's going to send their kids to private school anyways, and only the really stupid people would ever use the public school system, which teaches you nonsense. I mean, these are not idiotic people. These are wealthy, highly educated Texans, you know? And maybe my conspiracy bells are ringing here, because article that I read from every professor in every school says the same thing, that their systems are on the verge of collapse. You know, that they just can't do anything about them, that they have to, like, they're overstretched and desperate, yearning for any monies.
But you got to understand, this isn't a conspiracy. It's just a case where everybody wants more for less. No one wants to raise taxes, but everybody wants to keep the massive amounts of roads and rail and everything else, that all of the infrastructure that America's built up needs an insane amount of money to keep it going, and nobody wants to put any money into anything anymore. Everybody wants lower taxes. I mean, taxes have gone down, and things are just getting worse and worse, and everybody's always talking about socialism like it's a bad thing. And I just got to say, look, you guys have a crazed idea of what socialism is and what it isn't, because you guys just need to raise your taxes 5% across the board. And then everything would be fine.
Well, you know what? Here's the reason. There's no need to raise taxes. You have to consider this, that the United States is in danger of defaulting on interest payments of its debt. Okay? That means that the reason why the United States can borrow money is because it's the most powerful economy in the world. It doesn't miss a payment, you know? But you're still paying on interest from these other companies, or sometimes, countries, sometimes even corporations, that basically lend you money. The problem is, if you don't raise taxes, you're not going to have enough capital to do that, and you are left with two options. Number one is you can print more money and raise inflation, which basically, anytime they print more money, everything you own, every dollar you have in your bank, just reduced in value. That just happened. Like, they print out $6 billion more, and all of a sudden, that's how much less everything's worth now because of inflation. So that's the government basically fucking you in the ass every time that they turn on the printers. So that's option number one for you. So your money can be worth less if they do that. Or option number two is that they don't do anything, and then all of a sudden, everybody's like, where's my money? And the United States is like, oh? And then guess what happens to your ability to borrow more money? It disappears. And without you being able to borrow any money, what are you going to do? You know, I feel with the whole infrastructure in the United States, and this is what I don't understand, why they're so opposed to sort of a socialist idea, is that, listen very carefully, your ability to borrow money has to do with the equity that you have. And what is the equity of the United States, mostly? Well, it's economy, ironically. That's your biggest equity. Now, this is the reason why they think to themselves, well, if we inject all this capital, the equity of our equity will raise. But the problem is that the fundamentals of that equity are all broken. Doesn't matter how much money you put into a sinking house, it's still going to sink. It's not going to raise in value. Now you just have more money in the hole. Like, the issue is very, very fucking simple. You need to put serious caps, serious regulations on your banks, on corporations, on, like, you know, CEO salaries. You need to raise taxes. These are fundamental economic principles that you guys have decided, well, no, we just need to lower taxes. That'll increase business incentives, right? Like, business incentives don't fix ailing economies. I feel like I'm crazy here. Anyways.
So there's an atheist perspective on what's going on with the economy.
Well, you know, it was that story was in the Wall Street Journal. Mm. You know, Wall Street Journal. It's a tie-in. Wall Street.
Oh, okay.
Journal. All right, moving on. there's one thing that I wanted to talk about. Speaking of economic crisis, because we've just transitioned to there, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm not going to go back anywhere else. We're done talking about that other shit anyways. The one thing I wanted to mention is that a recent Gallup poll showed that there was no increase in the United States in terms of religiosity due to the economic crisis. Now, the reason that's news, because otherwise I would say, well, that's a Gallup poll that shows nothing.
Yeah, well, isn't it like an atheist in foxhole type thing?
Exactly. People are usually presume that when times are tough, people get religious. And it's interesting that that's really not what's happening. So it leads me to want to ask you two questions. Number one, do you think that that is not happening because people are living in denial about the economic crisis? Or do you think that there's just, you know, there really will be no rise regardless of the economic issues?
I think they're in denial still. I mean, shit hasn't gotten bad yet. Things are getting worse, and there's more and more people dropping like flies, but things haven't gotten really bad.
Well,
like,
we don't know how bad it is for some people. Some people must have, like, you know, a significant portion of the population lost their job. I think that unemployment went up 3%. I mean, what is 3% of the United States? Yeah. And yet within those people who have just lost their fucking job, probably some of them are homeless or whatever, no increase, though, still. I mean, we don't see those effects because we are also north of the border. We just hang out in our basement all day and read blogs. I mean, that's what we do. How connected are we, you know, to the pulse?
We are very... It's true. I mean, I rely on Andrew Sullivan's blog to read, you know, like, what's going on, individual stories about the economy. But the truth of the matter is the people losing their jobs and the people in trouble aren't the people reading Andrew Sullivan, and they're not the people emailing Andrew Sullivan. So most of them are like, yeah, you know what? Things are still going okay for me because, you know, the upper middle class that so far is relatively safe. Everybody that's getting axed is kind of that lower rung. So,
well, I think it's happening both at the upper and the lower rungs. And the middle is just trying to kind of like hold tight everything because you don't have, you never had enough investment for you to really lose that much. And you were already making the mortgage payments on your house and you were there for like 15 years at your job. So you're not going anywhere. But meanwhile, all those fucking up and go-getters like young people who get these jobs 1 year in figure, hey, I'm going to get a nice mortgage. He gets fired. Now he's fucked. Mm. And meanwhile, you're just like, what's going on around here?
Yeah, well, for me, it's just, you know, I don't own anything and I have no assets or anything. So no value drop in anything and nothing past the
You went from zero to zero.
I went from zero to zero. And sure, advertising went in the toilet, which sucks for the websites and it sucks for, you know, a lot of other stuff. But, you know, I really can't complain. But, I mean, if you're going to get back to why people don't switch over. You know, I would like to believe that I've always thought of this idea that especially for poor people, they have two religions. They have actual religion and then they have consumerism. And you see a lot of people go into consumerism really big. And that's kind of why they've all gone into debt is because they're all living above their means trying to get their fix. So I'd like to think that these people, you know, they just don't trend religious, you know, this next generation. But I can't really believe that that's true.
I think it has to do with the population shift that's happening. Because, you know, a lot of baby boomers are dying.
Not enough.
But
not to say...
Get out of here!
Not to say the baby boomers are bad, but holy crap, is that a crisis that's going to happen?
You guys are a giant crutch.
Let's look at it like this. The economy just got destroyed by the baby boomers, and in 30 years... the economy is going to get destroyed again because we have to take care of the infirmed elderly baby boomers.
Yeah, you guys dropped the ball. I seem to recall when you guys, after the war, everything was kind of like, you know, paved with gold, possibilities are endless, and this is what we get? Now we got to take care of you. You guys who poisoned the environment and dropped the ball historically.
Not only did they fuck everything up for us now, but down the road, they're going to fuck us up even worse.
Yeah.
So no offense to baby boomers as individuals, but
as a whole?
But as a whole, boo.
You suck. There's a reason why they call your parents the greatest generation ever. It's just because they look so damn good compared to you guys. Boo.
You were a disappointment, son. But hey, the only reason, I don't really know if we're that much better.
No, we're worse. You know? It's like we only got worse. Look at Just read any page, any Twitter. Read a person's Twitter, and you'll know how far we have sunk.
Now, read YouTube comments. I think I've already mentioned this before. Yeah. There's no... If you want to stare in the eye, the idiotic masses, just hear what's coming out of their maw.
Yeah.
Go on to YouTube.
Gaping maws.
Go on to YouTube and just read some comments. Any video, whatever you want, and you will cringe in fear for the future of the human race.
I am personally embarrassed for my generation. I find it embarrassing. But, you know, I'm part of that embarrassment. I think there's a video somewhere where I'm eating fake poo. So I don't know if I can comment, you know? I am a buffoon trying to make a point. I mean, entertainment, that's what I'm in the business of. Okay, I wanted to talk actually about the economic crisis, in fact, of affecting religiosity. Back to the generations, like the generation that is replacing the baby boomers, the younger generation, their religiosity is very, like, religion is very low on a lot of their radars. And I think that that's affecting all of those older people that might be switching over. They're switching off. So, you know, I think that if you would make a poll, you'd probably find that the majority of, non-religious people are very young.
I'd be interested in knowing, take a look at, say, baby boomers and how they fall in and out of religion, or how they decide, you know, I wasn't really that religious before, but then I got old and my parents died and I became very religious then. I'd really be interested in knowing how it all switches over, because maybe there's not an increase because all of the baby boomers have hit that point in their age where they're not really changing anymore. They've flip-flopped around and they have their niche. And then all the young people, like you said, they don't really give a damn either way. They just want to buy things.
Well, they don't give a damn, and I think they're very, very disconnected. Even though we connect with a lot of people, say through the internet, through all those kinds of media, it's not a face-to-face connection. So the bonds aren't necessarily as strong. You know, you can even be separated from a lot of, drama by just it being all online. I mean, think about it. What is the difference between, say you had a dramatic situation where you were living with a person or you had a friend around your circle. This is pre-internet, all right? Pre-internet, let's go back to that. You have some kind of conflict in your group of friends, right? But there is no way for you to have a conversation that is at least somewhat...
Removed.
Removed, exactly. So you get to, you really have to face a person face-to-face to deal with an important issue. Now, I know from a fact, I prefer MSN to certain serious discussions, particularly if they're like about something that somebody did to displease me, because it just always comes out better when you write it than when you read it. It seems less harsh to me than a person who looks at you straight in the eye and say, "You disappointed me, dude." You're just like, "Ouch!" You know, you're forced to kind of like confront these types of dynamics a lot more. What I'm saying is that there's a bit of a removal from that in that overly connected world, you know, where you're connected, but at the same time, you're not. You're just aware of what everybody else is doing, but you're not really involved because your awareness is spread to so many individuals. I think that that's, you know, maybe at least the best theory that I have to explain why people might be a little bit more disconnected.
I would probably think it has to do with the fact that people just have more things to do. Nowadays, you know, what do you have in your life? Before, you had very little. Now, it's endless. You could literally sit around and watch movies and television all day, every day, and many people do. Or you could sit on the computer all day, every day, like we do. Or you could do 1,000 other things. There's no end. You could play video games forever. You could just... The list of possibilities is endless. No longer is it a world where there's nothing to do but get down on your knees and pray. The times are changing. So, well, maybe that could be it. But again, this is all smoke up. Is it up the ass or out the ass?
I believe we should use both.
Blowing smoke up people's asses?
Is that what people do?
I don't know. It's a really
what
weird...
What do people do?
It's a really weird expression. But all it is just, you know, flapping our lips and throwing out ideas. I honestly don't think we have even an iota of appreciation for what it may really be.
No, that's...
I just listened back to everything we said in my head. I'm like, no, we're wrong.
Here's what I think it is. I think our generation, the advantage that we have is that we trust what people say a lot less. And religion, in a sense, I mean, if you... the way that people looked at pastors or religious figures when like the last generation, how they do now are vastly different.
Oh man, priests vastly ain't shit fucking no more.
Exactly, they ain't shit no more. But in back in the days where they was the shit, I mean, could you imagine them saying telling you anything? You know, you'd believe them, and if they told you with real conviction, you know, of course, a person you respect, highly knowledgeable, probably the smartest man in town, tells you God exists, you're like, fuck yeah, God exists. But now the smartest people are telling you, no, no. Or the most entertaining people are probably telling you, no, nah, probably not. Those voices of dissent have gotten mighty powerful.
Yep.
So I think that just in general, it affects even the people that were religious before for the, you know, like the same reasons I mentioned before. They looked at these guys and said, wow, what authority. But now we have access to so many different opinions that in a way we kind of like, I don't know, the opinions of one person matter a little less because there are so many other different opinions or some opinions that are the same or, you know, and you have to make your mind up about all these. You're like, damn, I don't know. I don't want to take a stance.
Also, I can say for sure, at least from my point of view, is if times got really rough for me, if I somehow got poorer than I am now and things were really rough and my parents both died and the place I lived was taken away, if someone was like, what do you think, you should turn to God, I'm like, if God exists, he's a dick face.
Yeah, you got jobbed.
Yeah, and I I have no interest in worshiping this person. I think I'll just join up with Satan because he seems to give some perks.
Yeah, you sell your soul and you're gonna get at least something. Yep. You know, fuck, all I got, I get less than something. I kept getting things removed. Like, I had stuff that I worked really hard for, and this motherfucker took it all away. Some bitch. All right, with that, I think we should sort of call it a show.
Sounds good.
I mean, it was a bit stream of consciousness, but I think that's what the appeal of the show is. I was thinking about this, and I actually want response from people that listen to the show, is I was thinking that maybe one of the problems that we had before is there's a difference between a very structured show and one that's more kind of free-flowing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember when we first did that first bonus show, and you were like, today we're split into four parts.
I know.
And here is the segment. It's called What the Fuck Up With That. Now, what the fuck up? It's like, no, you just got to roll with it. Don't worry about it. Don't, you know, obviously have some topics.
Well, I want to ask people, actually, because these individuals are the future patrons. Why not ask the opinions of people who listen to the show to say, what do you guys think? You know,
everything
about the show. We want to know what you think, and we want to hear some suggestions because, I mean, the show doesn't have to remain in only one way. What are the things that you guys really love about it? These are the things we're curious about because we're just two guys talking to a microphone. Like, honestly, like I don't have any access to your minds. So I'd like for you to go and go onto the site, onto this podcast, and there's a comment section and leave suggestions. And like, we'd love to entertain the best suggestions. I mean, any idea is a good idea to me.
Yeah, if you want to say, get rid of Jake and make it an all Ryan show, we will listen to you.
We will. I'm going to take a long vacation.